the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Kingdom Recovery. You're listening to WCNO 89.9, and it is 5 o'clock on Friday, and we're going to get ready to talk about the Word. God, God, God. Hi, James.
Hello.
Sorry, I said your name. You are?
No, that's all right.
No. I'm a little excited.
That's good.
Yeah.
You're fine.
I'm Luann, and we do our teachings as it relates to 12 cognitive behavior, 12-step work groups, and the Word of God. Right, James? It's
yep.
Deliverance, actually. That's what we do. We teach about deliverance and how to go from that old man that's sometimes still sick and suffering because the mind is not being transformed, renewed, so that the body can't be transformed and we're still stuck. So we declare Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, but we stop there and we're not, you know, we really stop at him being our Savior, and we're saying, yeah, I'm going to heaven. But then what about the Lord part where he is owner of everything, the landlord of our heart, our soul,
Amen.
Our body.
And you must be born again.
And you must be born again. And we're going to read that. So step 12 is, just so we can remind our listeners that we are, hold on, let me get it. We're talking about step 12, which is, as a result of these steps, and that's all the steps that we've done prior to that, and, you know, I keep saying 12-step workshop, 12-step groups, but it's also in therapy. Most of the goal, even in therapy groups or just one-on-one therapy, is to get the person to be transformed by their thinking, right? So we can be new creations in our spirit, but if our soul, our mind, will, ideas, thoughts, emotions are still lined up with the old worldly ways, the old ways of living, we're going to struggle. We're definitely going to struggle in this life. We're going to feel like we've never been, I mean, there might be moments of feeling set free, you know, like when you're in praise and worship, or if you're listening to a good sermon, but you want, God did this so that you can be whole all the time with him. Even in the worst scenarios, case situations, you can still feel that peace and that wholeness with him, right? So step 12 is about having had the spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. So which means that there should be some spiritual awakening, born again and transformation, knowing that you're not the old man identity, you're the new man, because during these steps, you've gathered new resources from the kingdom of heaven, of course, treasures, I'll say, promises that you can put in your heart treasure box and use against temptation or against unforgiveness or against even yourself, pride, trying to rise above God. So when we learn these scriptures and these skills to be able to apply the scriptures in our life starts to look different. Our lifestyle changes. We start to live righteously because we are righteous and we're lining up. We're in agreement with his word. We are holy. when you get born again, and you must be born again, Jesus told Nicodemus that, and he explains it one time in the Bible in detail. So we must be born again in order to be able to receive the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and be able to fulfill God's plan and purpose in the world through our lives. He needs a vessel. Okay, and it says, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to others, especially the sinners, the sick, the oppressed, the diseased, alcoholics, if that's the ministry that God has given you. God does not make a mistake. I was plopped into that program way before I surrendered my heart to God, to Jesus, and I know today He doesn't make a mistake. His plan and purpose for me was to be there to get the information I needed so I could be more effective in His will with that information and to be able to have compassion for people, for those people. That's the group of people that He has assigned in my life to preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick, cast out demons. So I do deal with a lot of mental, I'll say diagnosis, but they're really spiritual maladies because I'm in the field of the therapeutic field. So I've been a counselor for a long, long time. So I believe that that's what God put me in that before I knew Him, to train me in a specific area so that when I did finally surrender myself, pride, I, self, me, ism, to God. it all started to make sense for the first time, like in a bigger way. Not like, oh, yeah, that makes sense logically, but more in a spiritual sense. I saw a bigger picture when, like, all the slogans, everything I've ever read, all the things I studied in going to school and all these other things, everything started to make more sense when He opened up the kingdom of heaven to my eyes, my spiritual eyes, you know? So we carry this message, and the message is the good news. The message is, yes, it is the gospel, but we are the gospel, right? We're living gospel. So it's my testimony is the message. How did God come into my life, into me, and change me, transform me? That's good news, because it's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. And and when you are sharing the truth about your life, yourself, it's more effective. People can identify more, and because it's real, you're actually here. You know, yes, we want to share the gospel about Jesus, but the best way to share Jesus is through your lifestyle, through your testimony. And then once they get captivated, right, captured by His beautiful glory, then you can start introducing His story more and more, and the word, because a lot of people will shut down. They want to relate. We want to relate fellowship. And then we practice these principles, and the principles are the different skills that we learn on how to apply the word in our life, how to step when we find ourselves in offense. How do we get out of that? When we find, it's like the promises in our life. Okay, the promises are the result of the principles. If I live by good, righteous, morally right principles, right, the promises will manifest. That's what God's trying to tell us. He gave us principles to live by, commandments. He gave us instructions. His will and testament, the word of God, is for us. It's His love to us. When I would discipline my children when they were younger, it was out of love for them, to protect them, to care for them, to want better for them. I was always on their side. And He's like that with us. So this step 12 is about being transformed and having His heart to serve, charity, love others under every condition. It should not affect me. When I can get out of the way, I can be more effective in my walk with the Lord for others. So that's the whole point, to get to step 12 and have a total spiritual awakening where now you're being led by the Spirit, You're walking by the Spirit. You're talking by the Spirit. And you're thinking in by the Spirit. You're lining up with God's Word. Then you can go out and do the missionary work that God has planned for you, wherever you are. And if it's a parent, it might be your children. It might be at your job. It could be maybe one of your hobbies is where God's using you.
Okay? Or all the above.
Well, all the above. It's every area of our life. That's right. Finances. Right? Mm-hmm. People forget about that. It was a big one for me because I couldn't even understand like what that meant in all my affairs. I didn't know it meant like every area of my life. Like, I didn't realize until I studied the heart, the chambers of the heart or rooms, like a chamber in a castle. And the heart is the castle, the piece of property where our castle lives. And, you know, how beautiful do you want your castle? The more rooms he says to us, we're making rooms in your mansion. It's your mansion, your heart. And mm-hmm. you want a big heart, a big, soft, beautiful heart, the biggest heart you can get here. Right? So, and that's the principle of step 12 is love. It's service. It's charity to others. It's washing of the feet. Jesus did it for us. That was his example of humbling himself. Even the servant, the master came to serve. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
To be greater is to be greater servant.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. So God's Spirit in you is all you need to preach, to serve, to think, to speak, to act. It's His Spirit inside of you. You know, I'm doing a study with the women in the jail, and there are several scenes where we're watching, you know, the leper and then the paralegic that came down on the ceiling. And the question they asked God was, if you are willing, and he's always willing, right? And the Holy Spirit's always willing in us. But you see, they had to ask Jesus. The Holy Spirit wasn't in them. So they had to find Jesus, go near Jesus, but he's with us today. So he's always willing. It's not a matter of not wanting.
I believe in the scripture, he asked him, do you believe?
Yeah.
To the people.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
their faith.
Do you believe
he's seen their faith.
Yes.
I know it was done off their faith, letting him down through the thing that carried him up there. Because I didn't even realize that till recently. There's a scripture where we can be praying for others, Christian brothers, and because you hear the miracles where people are praying and people are healed, and it was the people praying's faith. You see that once in a while.
Amen.
And I believe that was a scriptural example. And I heard someone saying that, and I was like, man, I never thought about that.
Yeah,
being the scripture for that.
Amen, amen. And because others, they gathered as friends. And what does it say in the Bible? A friend will lay his life down for you. That's basically what...
No greater love has any man than to lay his life down for
you. Yeah, and that's basically what they were doing, because the Roman... I mean, it could have been a very bad scene. You know, they went up on the roof. There was many things they were doing.
Well, I was amazed the person owning the house didn't get mad. I mean, if someone came tearing my house, the roof off my house, busting a hole in.
Wasn't that... It was supposed to be, I think, one of the brothers, the fisherman, the Zebedee, or the father.
I don't know.
I think it was... Well, anyway, because when I went to Israel, they kind of told that story, that's where the roof, where we were in the place mm-hmm. where Jesus spent a lot of time there. That's what they were sharing. That's what the guide was saying. So, and that we were in the place where that scene, most likely, I can't say it did, took place, which is, I mean, it's just a beautiful experience. If you ever get the opportunity to go to Israel, you should, everyone who's listening, because it really comes alive. If you're reading the word and then you go, you're like, oh my gosh, it's so real. So we have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit wants to demonstrate God's power through us, through our lifestyle, through our actions, and through the words we speak, okay? But we have to line up. If we don't know God's word, we're not going to know how or what to say or how to think through a situation, because we're not in line with God. So having time with him is important. Go ahead.
Yeah, and the mystery revealed is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
The hope of glory.
So Christ living in us, and then what happens is we step into the kingdom of God, and unless we renew our mind by the washing of the water of the word, anywhere we are stepped in the devil's kingdom, he has a right to us.
That's right.
And many people get, if they want to live in sin after they know the Lord, have a lot harder time than they did before they knew the Lord, because you weren't a threat to the enemy, and now you're a threat. And he knows your potential, and he's going to do everything he can to attack you. So that's where reading the word and learning, you know, what we are to do, what we aren't to do, you know.
Mm-hmm. And who we are in him.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. So the faith is, you know, faith in Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. And it's in Jesus, the word of God. He is the way, the truth, the life, right? And that's the faith. It says, so there's only one. There's only one, the faith, that is the truth, the word, the life, the way, okay? So the only true way is to follow Jesus Christ. And that's when we're walking by faith, in faith, okay? And it's important that we know who, what, where, and why is our faith in something. So I'm going to ask people several times maybe to maybe do an inventory. Who are you faithing in? What are you faithing in? Why are you faithing in something? Believing. And that's what I'm saying when I say faith. What are you believing in? Who are you believing in? What are you believing in? And sometimes we have to stop and take a little inventory of ourselves, you know, myself included. And that's what usually the 10-step, if you're familiar with 12-step programs, is a personal inventory, a nightly inventory, or a day, or a spot check. Maybe sometimes you're just in the car and you got to do a little spot check inventory. Mm. Like, I'm not the most important person in the world. And where I have to go is not the most important place to be. You know? And you got to slow it down. Whatever I say, I talk to myself too. So, and we would, James and I was just saying about being born again. So, and that's in John 3:5-8. And Jesus answers, and he's talking to Nicodemus, and he says, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." So when I think of water and Spirit, I think of being baptized in water as repentance, right? And it's like my head kind of, yeah, okay, I believe Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, but it's, you know, it's not a heartfelt thing yet. I'm not truly sold out. I believe the Holy Spirit is the allowing and surrendering to the Holy Spirit to lead and teach you to follow Christ is really the second part of the change. You know, there's a renewing of the mind and a transformation.
Yeah, and the selling out part, everybody's at different places on that, mm-hmm. depending on what they're going through, why they came in. You know, most people come in through troubles.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. I didn't. Thank God I did. But most people do, you know, and yeah. It depends how broken they are. Some people do come in really surrendered. They don't understand anything, though. And if they don't read the word, they mm-hmm. some of them get sold out. But then they slowly drift right out of it and wonder why it isn't like it was, because they...
Because
never
the
learned,
weeds.
And they're just got doors open, and they're, you know, got unforgiveness and all these different things, and just the enemy just weeds right back in, and
Amen.
Now they're getting mad again and whatever.
Because when we do come in, right, we still have some toiling. We have a lot of toiling to do. And I'm not going to say some. And if we don't start doing that, the weeds will start to grow again. It's like we get a whole new field. And then if we don't change what we've been sowing in our field, the old stuff will start to come up again and start choking things and blinding us again. And so that's why it's so important that we get the word seed and we keep spraying word seed with our hands and our mouth, right? Every morning, daily fresh bread, and we throw those seeds out into our field. And then we have to water them and take care of them and nurture and clean out those weeds. But if we're doing it, it's a lot easier because we're not getting all choked up and everything. And, you know, we're maintaining our life with the Lord. He told Adam that he was, that's what he was to do, right? Man is supposed to take care of the land. So we have to take care of our hearts. So born again is the passport, our passport to in Christianity. We get our little passport and a seal, the Holy Spirit seal, right? Into the kingdom of God. He says, you can't even enter the kingdom unless you're born again. So we get entered. We get our little passport, a little seal from the Holy Spirit.
I pictured you. Like you get to heaven, you pull the passport out. And then the one that has like a whole bunch of seals.
They travel all over.
Well, no, I was thinking it's where he backslid 500 times, came back. Oh, you only got one seal. Oh, man, you did good.
Yeah. Or it could be the other way. When you travel, they give you a thing. So every time you travel to a really foreign place and you conquered it, you get a seal. We're being silly, but that's okay. So just like conception, we can't see the actual conception happening until it physically starts to manifest a pregnant belly. And it's the same thing with us. We can't see the actual manifest, the born-again experience. But as the person starts to be transformed, we can see it.
Amen.
Amen, amen, right? Because you just don't know. You're like, I know for me in the beginning, but as my faith grew, right, in this area, I don't think about it anymore, but I used to, am I served? And James would say, that's a good thing that you're questioning yourself.
Well, what I said was, if you're saved, the enemy will tell you you're not saved.
And so that's a good sign.
And even anybody listening, if you're like, if you keep getting this thought, I'm not really saved, that's because you are. Because if you weren't, the enemy would tell you, you're fine, go ahead, have that drink or whatever, you know.
Amen, yeah. It's just an assurance for everybody listening. And then eventually it just goes away. You know, you don't even think about it because you know who you are. And
we're also staying in the Word, though, honestly, because it's coming to believe His promise. You know, so some people that just never get in the Word, they can struggle with that the rest of their life.
Yeah. And it's really important that we share this because that's the pitfalls for people. And if we don't share, if somebody's struggling right now, it could be because you're not getting into the Word. And that's the only shift you need to make. It's nothing big. No lightning bolt needs to happen. You know, you just say to yourself, make a commitment to God. It's a vow. You're married.
It's
renew
like
your
eating
vows.
When you're a child.
Yeah.
You don't like get up, I gained 60 pounds yesterday.
Yeah.
Look, I ate all night, you know. I read the Bible all night, and I don't feel any different. It's like it's an ongoing process.
It's an ongoing
staying
process.
In the Word.
It's like anything else, a flower that grows. You don't. It's so much stuff going on under the ground, and then all of a sudden, poop, and then it still only looks like a little piece of grass, and then all of a sudden you get a little bloop, bloop, another leaf, and then a beautiful little flower.
You're around someone, they do something that normally you'd blow up, and you just, they're like, wow, you really changed.
Yeah. But you're a tulip. I don't know. Being so silly. So born again is your passport. And the Greek word for that is genio. And it's procreate. It means begin again. To be reborn by spirit through a covenant, an agreement, a vow made with Christ. The water baptism of repentance of sin and with the Holy Spirit baptism in the kingdom of heaven and into the body of Christ upon confession of faith. What you believe with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Okay, you are with you what you eat, literally. So if you're eating the Word, you're going to be more and more speaking the Word, thinking the Word, acting the Word.
Well, you're going to be walking in the promises, and you're going to be walking in sonship.
Amen.
That includes women.
Yes, because it's when they talk about man in the Bible, there are times they are addressing a man, but there are times that they're addressing humans, So it's a race. It's a
yeah, right. An identity. Genesis in the beginning.
Amen. Right.
Created man.
Right.
Created man. Him.
Yes. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that everyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. So when we belong, it means to be suitable, to be attached to, or bound by birth. To be dependent on is when you belong to Christ, okay? To be an attribute of Christ, to be a character, his character, belonging and assigned to him, you are now an extension of who God is, who Christ is. When Jesus came, he multiplied himself. That's what the disciples are, because that's what we be fruitful and multiply. The whole point is to multiply God here on earth. All right, so the Holy Spirit of God is the someone that we're talking about inside of us. We want to multiply him by bringing others into the kingdom, right? So citizenship or sonship, like James just said, isn't that nice how we're flowing? You want to say scripture? I think that's a priority.
I just felt like the statement I said, some people might
do
just
it.
To make it. Okay, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. He created them.
Amen.
So
that's the human race.
Yes, that's where when he says man, he's created. He created man, male and female. He created them. So, I mean, the woman has all the rights the man has.
Amen. 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 So hopefully that cleared up for someone listening too. Yeah. Okay, so in Philippians 3:20 it says, but we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. So we are citizens where God lives, so where Jesus is. The Holy Spirit is here with us, but the Holy Spirit gets directions from Jesus. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, so we're getting it directly from God. We're all one, in one accord. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, spirit, soul, and body, one with the Lord, man, and God, and the Lord. When the natural and the spiritual unite, miracles happen. So when our vessel, our being, is in alignment with God's being, right? Miracles happen, promises take place, deliverance, healed, it's people getting healed. All those things happen.
And God's currency is faith.
Yes.
Begging God doesn't, hospitals would really empty out. That's, people beg a lot, but it's without faith is impossible to please God, and faith is what moves the hand of God, and all the gifts operate by faith.
So amen. And that's why, and when James is saying that, that's why to declare his word and thank him for it is really important, because we're not saying we do this for us, we're saying thank you for doing that for us, and it changes everything, because then the enemy is like, ooh, they know the mystery that they got hope and glory inside.
Yeah, but already paid for it.
That's right. Praise the Lord.
And we get the manifestation, but it's thanking him and praising him for it.
That's right. Yep. So, because he already did it. Yes. And all the promises are yes and amen. It's done. And he said it is finished. When he died and he gave up his spirit for us, it is finished, is what he said. So there's nothing that needs to be done. We just have to walk in the completion. Okay. So Ephesians 2:12 says, and this is before, in those days before you were born again, you were living apart from Christ. I was. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant, which is a vow. It's an agreement. It's a marriage, the covenant. Covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope, without the Holy Spirit in us. And sometimes we act like that. We live like that. And it's really rebellion. for those who did receive the Holy Spirit, who are still living as the you know, like a beggar. You don't need to live as a beggar. Praise God. So the Holy Spirit is our engagement ring. He's the promise for us here until we unite with God at the marriage.
And I just want to say, God says, I now call you friends. So we go from servants to friends, but we serve people.
Yeah.
So don't get confused. Mm-hmm. We don't rule or dominate over people.
That's right.
Matter of fact, maybe that's why I had this paper I read.
Praise God. Read it. It
says, esteem others better than yourselves. Look not on your own things, but on the things of others. He who's greatest among you, and that was Philippians 2:3, Matthew 23:11. He who's greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. Philippians 2:3, I already read that. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, which we have a lot of that, but being examples to the flock. So we don't rule over people. And I mean, if you have a church, you got to keep order. I'm not saying that, but you don't control their lives when they leave the church. That's a big thing too.
Amen.
Where people think they have control over people and they're in a hierarchy, and God's kingdom is upside down. The higher is to go lower.
That's right. Praise God.
Greatest will be servant of all.
Mm-hmm. So religion relates to the outside life, the natural man, that head knowledge that we were talking about, right? The works and the rituals and obligations for gain or to be good. That's what religion does. How good can I be? You know, it's a performance thing. That's what religion, and I'm not saying God created us to want to have,
if you love me, you'll obey me.
Yeah.
We want to obey him. That's not what she's saying.
That's not what I'm saying. Exactly.
So, penance is what you're talking about.
Well, I'm sorry?
Penance. Like the people carrying a cross up the hill in that other country, playing penance up and down. They're earning something from God, and that's just...
I'm talking about that if I think that there's something... if I do something every day, then I qualify. If I think that lines up with, you know... lighting a candle.
He qualified us.
Exactly. If I pray 10 prayers a day, that becomes my works trying to be something to get something. And God already gave it all because he did it all for us. Yeah. So in religion with God, meaning my daily time with him, I religiously spend time with God, is way different than trying to perform for God. It's I desire to be with him. It's not I have to be with him, otherwise I won't be accepted by him.
And God's religion is to feed the poor, take care of the widows, and
amen. So we do religion because we were designed to with him, though it's different.
Well, there's a religious spirit which is totally different,
and that's it's demonic.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and spirituality relates to your spirit, your inner being. So the natural being is when we practice religion to get something, to perform something, to qualify for something. It's, you know, it's like people pleasing, but for God.
Believe.
Right. And then spiritual relates to your spirit man. It's your heart knowledge. Okay. It's the relationship you have with God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's the unseen relationship. That's why he says go to that secret place. It's that place that nobody, it's deep inside of you with him. It's your relationship with God. It's intimacy. Into me you see. It's where you're with him. All right? And that spiritual, and then the awakening. This is all having had a spiritual awakening as a result, right? An act of waking from sleep. So I know when I first got sober or, you know, changed certain things in my life one by one, all these little things, right? I had to wake up in areas of my life to what he says about it. The light, I have to shine his light, the word, on those dark places. And I just there are certain areas that as the light, the Word of God was lighting inside of me because I was reading it, I was listening to it, I was studying it. I started changing my people. We would go to lunch and talk about him. And, you know, as those things, my speech started to change. It wasn't like I woke up and I said, I got to stop talking a certain way. I didn't even know. It just happened. Because that's what God does. He starts delivering you as you grow with him. Okay?
And you can have a spirit there sometimes that... Because I have cast that out of someone like that couldn't quit cussing and they didn't cuss from that day.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's everything. Yeah, everything. I mean, there are certain things that...
Anything you can't lay down is act your will. There's a spirit behind it. There's a lot more spirits than people realize, too.
Amen. And there were some things that I needed a physical deliverance from that other people didn't. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all... But if I don't continue to walk, I would never be put in those places where God always supplies my need. You know, he brought the people that recognized something that, you know, talked to me about certain things, and I was able to address them, and, you know, deliverance happened. Or I was watching something, and I'm like, ooh. But if I chose not to spend that time with God, I would have missed it. It's that easy, you know, and been tormented for how no, you know, you don't have to be tormented is what I'm saying. Anyone listening right now, today, you just get in the Word. And when the Holy Spirit wants to deal with something with you, the first thing is probably offense. You go, that's not me. Or you don't like it.
I'm offended at you saying I have offense because I don't have offense.
You know, like, yeah, you don't like what you hear. Or judgment. You're like, oh, you know, because you're feeling it, you know. And that's, instead of giving it to the enemy and taking it that way where you want to shut down, invite the Holy Spirit in that place and say, oh, no, I'm not shutting this down. This is uncomfortable, but I need to be uncomfortable in order to get to the other side of this. Praise God.
And just know the enemy attacks where you have landing strips.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't had a problem with something, you may still get thoughts and they're just ridiculous because you're not tempted. Then you have the areas you wonder why you're so weak to, and it's just landing strips because you grew up with that spirit. You can have new things attack you as you start going forth with God, especially start casting demons out. I mean, like I had someone that was healed of cancer up north that called actually yesterday or day before yesterday, I think it was, but they had bought a house and there was some four people had died on this property, and the house was okay, but the house had been a new house built on the property, but there's two barns back there, and they'd feel ill walking back there, and it's before they knew, so wasn't it, because a lot of people get in fear of demons and, oh man, there's something, because they know something happened there, but they didn't know nothing. They didn't know what the problem was. And then they started looking into it, and one committed suicide, and just four different people died on this property. So I just sent them some stuff out of prayer over it. But she said, you know, I was looking out back and I just real strongly was just kept imagining hanging myself from this tree. And she didn't even know somebody had done that. And, She said it didn't bother me. I wasn't going to do it. And I said, well, that's just because you didn't grow up with that. If that was a familiar spirit, if you had had a problem with that in your past, it would have gripped you. It was trying you, but there was no landing strip is why it didn't bother you.
And when you say that, what I want to tell people is, so what you have to do is cultivate, grow some crops in that landing strip so there's no longer landing strip.
Yeah, speak the word.
That's right. Throw seeds of the word in that blank spot, because he can't see it. You want to grow God's word there, and then there's no place for him to land. That's how I look at everything. I look at everything as be fruitful and multiply. Okay, so there's an area of my life where I'm not very fruitful because I'm allowing the enemy to kill, steal, and destroy things that I try to put there. I have to continue to put there and let God grow.
When we go out of our comfort zones, we're usually pushing through stuff because comfort zones are usually demonic, just being honest.
And the way we want to be of service, see, step 12 is about serving others. But if I'm so stuck in myself, or if I'm so caught up in the things of the past, it's not going to be as effective. I can't infect people with the seed of God the way I need to if I have junk in there. It's going to be impure, basically, you know, and it's corruptible. We want incorruptible seed flowing.
The martyrdom thing, you know, look what they did to Jesus, you know. Mm-hmm. Look what they did to the disciples. We're in the middle of a war. I had someone call me a couple months ago, and they were like, oh, man, I just want to quit this thing. And I'm like, man, you don't look at this right at all. We're dropped in the middle of a war here on the earth because it was given to Satan, and now we're in a battle here, and we need to win souls. And when we get to the other side, we're going to live eternally without dealing with any of these demonic attack and stuff. But right now, you're in a war. You don't need to sit back and poor me, and why is everything not going my way?
Amen. So awakening is waking up from a sleep, from a slumber, being suddenly aware of something. It's when you get the revelation knowledge. You know, your spirit man is woken up from sleep, and then it's a born-again experience. It's like, oh, my gosh, everything makes sense. Things are, you know, I understand certain things that you weren't understanding before. And only the Holy Spirit, you know, when Peter said to Jesus, you're the Messiah, only the Holy Spirit can tell us things like that. It's like when Anna said to me, God, she had an experience a couple of, you know, weeks ago or a week ago, and she said, it was like God wrote on my heart. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's the Holy Spirit.
Because Anna's her daughter.
Anna's my daughter, and she wouldn't have known to say that just on her own, you know? So I'm like, oh, that's the Holy Spirit. Oh, and I was so excited for her. So, because when you know him, you know what he sounds like when he says something through someone else, you know? And that's how he knows his people, right? Those who keep my commandments, he knows who loves him. Because they start to speak like him, sound like him, his image and likeness. You know, image and likeness in spirit, not in the physical sense. We could be...
Amen. Christ in you, the hope of glory.
It's the inside image and likeness that looks... When he says, I don't know you, it's because your inside doesn't look like him. You could be doing all these things on the outside. But it's the inner man that needs to be woken up and walking in spirit with him.
And that's where a big problem in the church is judging off the outward.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he smokes, or this one does, you know, and you have no idea what's in people's hearts.
That's right.
And Kenneth Hagin, I just heard a story where he's telling how he was in this church, this guy, and he saw the guy going into a bad place, and I don't know if it's a woman's thing or something, but, and then in the church service, he said it was like dead. And there was this woman in there that everybody just really liked. And he was saying that God used the man to, like, bring prophecy forth and bring a move of God starting. And when he went home, he's like, Lord, why would you use him? And why wouldn't you use so-and-so? She served you 40 years faithfully. And he said, you don't know so-and-so's heart. She has been rebelling against me for 40 years. Yes, she has a good outward appearance. And then he showed him when that man went over there, he was trying to bring somebody out of there. He wasn't even going there to see the women. So you never know, you know.
Amen.
So
that's right.
Just because someone's smoking or doing something, you don't judge by outwardly.
Yes. So in Ephesians 5:14, it says, for the light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So it's Holy Spirit who reveals Jesus, the Word, to us inside and lines up everything with... the Word is what's judging us. It's really, as I read the Word, I get convicted. Or if I'm not reading the Word, then I won't. I won't even care about it. But if I'm reading the Word, the Holy Spirit will start to convict me, reproof, rebuke, all these things. And that's his job, to do that, to teach me as a loving guide so that I don't get burnt all the time, you know, like a parent. He's here. He's like our babysitter from
he's
God.
But he's the God agent that's in,
he's the, God
in the earth,
yes,
working.
That's right.
Know?
He's all around us. And now, thank God,
we have a vision of Jesus, but still the Holy Spirit giving the vision.
Yeah, amen. But now he's in us, too. If you choose to believe.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. So he's always been, even when I was not, when I didn't have Jesus, when I didn't receive the Holy Spirit and accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, he was always around influencing the atmosphere, the people, places, and things around me. You know, he, that's what he does. That's who he is. He's like the wind. You don't know how it happens. You don't know where. You can only just feel it. You see it, you know, it shift. But you can't, you don't know where it's coming from.
Can't see it is what he's.
Yeah. Amen.
What the scripture is.
So, also, as in Isaiah 61, it explains that our bodies are dust, but the spirit and soul return to God. God who gave it, he gets it back, okay? To be absent is to abandon myself from my own stuff, right? Is to be present with the Lord. If I can leave myself behind, which I should, right? My way, my will, and come to him and let him fill me with what he wills, then I can be effective in my service to others also. Romans 3, and you know, in Deuteronomy 6:9, it talks about all of this, you know, the examining our life. And, you know, there are certain questions that we can ask ourselves, like I said in the beginning of talking today. And it's like, who are your friends? Like, examine your life. Do they lean more towards one way? Are they doing things that aren't lining up with God? What about the things you're reading, whether it's on your phone or a book? What are you favoring? Because if it's not lining up with God, that's how we can examine our life, examine where we're at. Another thing is, what are we watching? Our gates. It tells us in Deuteronomy to watch our gates when we're sitting, when we're standing. In every position, we have to meditate on him, right? What are our hobbies? Do we tend to want to do things that take us away from godly things? You know? Could be gambling. That's, you know, just, it's
what
harmful.
What do we watch is what I keep thinking.
Yeah, what are you watching?
There's so much
right?
stuff.
What are you listening to? Our gates. We have to guard our gates. And who are the people that you look up to? And who are the people that are feeding you? What are they? Are they coworkers that, you know, are, you know, talking bad about people or doing things like that? I mean, we have to really line up with God.
Are they just high up in the world?
Or you high up in the world, yeah, like money's their God. And yeah, true.
I mean, would
or
you
position.
Be more excited to meet a strong man of God or Elon Musk? You know what I mean?
That's right.
It's like, you know, nothing against Elon, but like that stuff just, thank God, that's never had a stronghold on me and the money thing and the notoriety, like being mm-hmm. famous. I don't know. I just feel sorry for those people.
Yeah.
I don't have a
desire. I'm not a starstruck person either, thank
like
God.
I see, was seeing.
Because
I
thought I was the only
like
star in the world. My star fell. There's no more stars. Oh, Lord. So.
And like I said, we're all born also with stuff, though, because, mm-hmm. you know, if you do have that, that's just maybe it could be a stronghold. You may have a landing strip there.
Where, that's right.
And you can even get away from it, then comes back in. And just like when you're fighting the shoes, you know, that's
right.
something that was an old landing strip. You got pathways built in your brain from living that way with that thing operating. And now you're free, but those pathways is a lot easier to land. Like
Amen.
If someone's been gay their whole life and they get delivered that spirit, that thing has a more chance to come in. Like, it's not going to jump on me because I've just never, that's mm-hmm. not, you know, it's just by the grace of God, I didn't have that. But if you had, or with any type of
that's
sin,
right.
you know,
yeah.
or sexual
even
sin.
Even addiction, you know, like, yeah,
yeah
you
like,
can, yes. There's, you know, that's why thoughts, you take captive your thoughts. I mean, there are times
if you're an alcoholic,
you, can think,
yeah. you get delivered, you don't run right back in the bars trying to grab no. people, you ain't going to make it.
Amen. Amen. You got to use wisdom, right? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, because you got your landing strips.
Mm-hmm. So Romans 13:11-12 says, and do this, knowing that the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of the darkness and let us put on the armor of light. And that's, you know, God's word. It's his way, his will. the armor of light. It's the Holy Spirit in us. We have to be fully equipped with God every morning. You know, it's good to spend a couple of minutes with God if you don't have a lot of time. If it's only in the shower, just pray in the Spirit or, you know, talk to Him. He just wants to spend time with you. On your way to work, in the car, you know. So every day we get closer to eternity.
That sounds crazy, but it's true.
Closer to never ending. Yeah. It's like an oxymoron. So cast off, put off the works of the darkness that's in your life. And put on the armor of light. And that's the knowing, the understanding, and the wisdom of God. You know, it's His actions, God's actions in us, that He's able if we allow Him. If we're willing, He's able. But we have to be willing and lining up to let Him do what He chooses, His will, His desires through us. Okay? And watch and pray to avoid temptation. Because what temptation wants to do, and that's in Matthew 26:41. And when we have to avoid drunkenness, which is intoxication. It's a mental state of intoxication. When I say drunkenness, it doesn't always mean you have to have a drink. We are drinking all day long things, right? Consuming things, eating and drinking, whether it's through our eyes, our ears, our mouth. So we got to look at this in the spiritual realm, all right? That's what it means. If we are intoxicated, we're not sound-minded, we're not Christ-minded. He said, be of sound mind, be of sober mind.
And intoxicated, she means could be like lust, anger, yes. Jealousy, or whatever.
Unforgiveness, yeah. Yeah, coveting.
Mm-hmm. That's such a big one. America's so coveting, and mm-hmm. We don't use that word, so people only know, because so much in the Bible not to covet. So we're not to long for things.
That's right.
And that's all we live off. The commercials build on that and our whole life. And waiting for Christmas, waiting for the birthday to get the thing we long for.
You know? Yep.
It's like we're taught that from a child. And we're so uncovetous and we just don't even know that word goes right over us because we don't commonly use that word.
Right. And what temptation tries to do is keep us from the calling that God has for us, from His plans and purpose. So you're going to be tempted in the areas that you're supposed to be serving, basically. You know, it's going to, because the enemy wants to try to distract you, turn your direction, turn your way of looking, turn your way of speaking, turn your way of thinking away from God. So there'll be temptations there. So, you know, God, first of all, will give you a way out. That's why you need to know the word. When Jesus was sent into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, to be tried. We talked a little bit about that, and I have it more in detail, which we'll talk about if we get to. If not today, probably not. We'll talk more about being tried, because tried is being fired up, like, you know, burnt out to try something. It's being tested, you know. And when we're being tested, it's really our faith being tested. Where are you faithing? What are you faithing in that place? And if you're building up your faith by hearing the word of God, right, and you're listening, then you can face temptation face to face and speak the word. When Jesus was, he knew who he was. So when the devil tempts him to get everything a shortcut, the temptation always wants to give you a shortcut to an end result that looks very similar to where God wants you, you know. But he knew the word, and he knew the plan, and he knew the purpose, and he knew God. He knew what God the Father had for him. So the enemy tried to distort it, twist it, and give him a shortcut. There are no shortcuts. It's God's way, His will, and His direction. He gave us everything we need in the Bible to know the path. If we choose to take shortcuts, or if we choose to twist the path, then we're going to be off path. It's not going to be the way God wanted. The end result will never be complete.
Yeah, that was a big one if you think about it, because here he knows he's going to have to die to win back the kingdom, because he had to come as a man, because it was given as a man, because it was given to Adam, and Adam gave it away to Satan, and Satan tempted him. Jesus, he said, all these kings are mine, and whoever I want to give them to, he didn't say, no, they're not yours, because they are his.
That's right.
They were given to him.
That's right.
Legally.
And he knew it.
And he's tempting him to not have to go through this being crucified and all this stuff. I'll give them to you.
That's right.
Just bow down and worship me. What a shortcut, man. Like, oh gosh, looks so much better than being crucified.
It
oh
is
my
very
God.
Tempting. I'm sure it was very tempting because he knew the whole picture, and he could have easily fell into the temptation, but he stayed steadfast.
And he knew who he was.
And he knew who he was, and it's important.
Because he grew in knowledge, it says, you know, he didn't know everything. Everybody thinks, oh, he was like God the Father. He knew everything. He didn't even know who touched him when the person got healed.
And amen.
There's many things he didn't know.
As a man, exactly.
Yeah, but he did move in the gifts of the Spirit just as he gave for us to move in the gifts of the Spirit.
Amen. Yeah. So yeah, that's good. So, you were saying something, and I wanted to...
God suffers violence and the violent take it by force. That kind of goes with what I was saying earlier. I'm not sure what you're thinking about.
No. So anyway, we don't have enough time to keep going on into another direction. But so I just wanted to, we can just stay there with this as far as, you know, what temptation does. It tries to give you a shortcut, and it is very tempting to take them. But if you stay in his strength, go ahead, James.
Also, another thing is the gifts that we're given, we have a drawing towards the gift, and many people, like, their gift is teaching, and they teach in the natural.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my dad taught in the natural, and I'm not saying I'm the greatest teacher, but that gifting is there. I mean, it's on me whenever I'm teaching somewhere, and I mean, when I'm done, the anointing goes, I can't even hardly stay awake to get home. It's like drained out. And also was into boxing and martial arts, but... the gift of discerning of spirits and deliverance is where he's used me a lot. Once I got over here in this realm, it ain't about boxing the natural. It's about, you know, so
spiritual.
But those things come out. You'll see, like, what you do in the natural sometimes just it's not the spiritual part, but it's that gifting drawing you to that.
And that's what the temptation tries to get you out of that and into the natural, out of the spiritual and into the natural part of it. Yes. So. We're going to pray, right, James?
Yeah.
I do want to say next week we're going to be doing prayer and share. We're very excited about that, joining WCNO to do prayer and share. So I hope everyone listens on Friday next week for our prayer and share collaboration with WCNO. So, James, you want to pray for us?
Father, I ask you to bless everyone, Lord, everything that's been truth. Let it soak into the hearts. Anything that's not, let it be as water off a duck's back.
Yes.
So, Father, I ask you to bless everyone and draw them closer and closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Shalom, shalom. We agape you. And listen next week at 5 o'clock to Kingdom Recovery.
Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980.
All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love. Cause